Bridget McAdams is a 29-year-old having her first baby and is 37 and 4/7 weeks pregnant. 3 days ago, she had a routine OB visit with me and everything was fine. I answered a few questions for her and examined her. Normally, I don't perform cervical exams at each visit during the last month of pregnancy, although many of my colleagues do. They feel it helps them in evaluating patients later when they come into labor. I find it uncomfortable for the patient and usually of limited or no value to me. But in Bridget's case, I did check her cervix because she was curious if she was dilated yet. She was dilated 1 centimeter, was 50% effaced, and -1 station. She asked if that meant she would go into labor soon, and I said, no, it doesn't really indicate anything, but it's normal. In any event, she called 3 days later and told my nurse that she was concerned because the baby didn't seem to be moving as much as it used to, and wondered if that was a danger sign. My nurse recommended she come right over to the office so we could do a non-stress test, check her amniotic fluid, and then I would evaluate her. The thing is, a fetus normally decreases its movements as full term approaches. The movements are less violent, less often, and shift from pushing and shoving to rolling and stretching. At the same time, a sudden decrease in fetal movement certainly can be a danger sign and should be evaluated. While that concept is simple enough, it's often difficult to distinguish clinically between the normal decrease in movements and an abnormal decrease in movements. When she arrived, her vital signs were normal and her weight was the same as when we checked it 3 days ago. First, we connected her to the electronic fetal monitor to record a non-stress test. After 5 minutes, the baby started moving and demonstrated all of the normal signs. There were multiple broad-based fetal cardiac accelerations associated with fetal movement, most of them exceeding 15 beats per minute and lasting longer than 15 seconds. The baseline fetal heart rate was 130 beats per minute in the normal range. There were no fetal cardiac decelerations. After 30 minutes of observation, the nurse removed the fetal monitor, and I went in to see her. We have an ultrasound machine next to the exam table in the room she was in, so after chatting with the patient, I scanned her, and I confirmed a normal-appearing fetus in head-first presentation, actively moving its arms and legs, and showing breathing movements. The placenta appeared normal. The amount of amniotic fluid appeared grossly normal, but I obtained the 4 greatest depth measurements in each of the 4 quadrants and added them together to get an amniotic fluid index of 17. This was all normal. With this reassurance, I explained to the patient that the nature of fetal movements changes as full term approaches. I told her she did exactly the right thing by calling us and coming in to be checked, but that the fetus was normal and she should not be worried. I recommended to her that she start performing kick counts each day. There are many ways to do this, but the approach I favor goes like this. First thing in the morning, even before getting out of bed, start counting individual fetal movements. Don't postpone your other activities, and it's fine to go ahead, get up, and have some breakfast. There could be 3 movements in a row or none for a long time. Once 10 discrete movements have been felt, the patient is done for the day, reassured that she can stop counting. If the time gets to be 12 noon and she hasn't felt 10 discrete movements, then she's to call my office to come in for non-stress testing. If this is over the weekend, then she'll go to the hospital for the non-stress test. The rationale for this approach is that it allows the patient to get this issue disposed of early in the day so she's not focusing on fetal movements all day long. Further, as soon as she has breakfast, her blood sugar levels will rise and the noise created by her stomach and intestinal activity will combine to awaken the fetus and stimulate it to become very active. Finally, by resolving the issue before noon, it gives me plenty of time to evaluate her in the afternoon, should there actually be decreased movement. Many cases of decreased fetal movement end up being innocent, but every now and then, the non-stress test will be non-reactive, and the fetus may be in some jeopardy from such diverse problems as silent placental abruptions, infection, or cord entanglements. In these cases, prompt delivery usually leads to a good result, while delay in delivery may not lead to such good results.